Recorded live.
Welcome back. Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show. Tonight's topic, and hold on, before I do that, one rule. I only have one. No profanity. Oh, and another one. I got to say this. No politics.
Yeah.
I am a believer in the no politics rule.
Thank you.
Now.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Welcome all. Tonight's topic, an invitation to divorce court. It has been a wild week at work for me, maybe the past week and a half. For those that don't know, I do finance at a car dealership, so I get to talk to a lot of customers about their personal stuff. I don't know how it happens because sometimes I feel like I'm a bartender, but they tell me stuff they got no business telling me. But anyway, so I got several stories that I want to share with you all tonight, but the first one I want to talk about, and this, we usually don't do this in the beginning, but I got to do it. Guy came in to buy a car by himself. His wife wasn't there. He starts telling me about some credit issues that he was having because of a divorce. So, okay, no problem. Now, I got this plaque in my office. It says, I can do all things through the Lord. So he looked at it. He was just reading it, blah, blah, blah. And then he asked me, do I go to church? I was like, yeah, religiously. And he said, okay. He said, yeah, my wife went to church, and I didn't go with her. And now I'm divorced.
Wow.
Do you think that could have had something? And then he asked me, do you think that could be one of the reasons why I got an invitation to divorce court? Now, I didn't want to, you know what I mean? I'm still trying to make money off the cat. So I don't want to be, you know, judgmental. And I don't want to put him out there. But, you know, we started talking about his faith and my faith, yada, yada, yada. And he was kind of in the middle. He didn't have... He could care less. It was either way. He didn't have a stance either way. But the fact of the matter was the gentleman was getting divorced. And now hindsight for him is looking back on the fact that maybe he didn't accompany his wife and be that man to say, come on, as the head of the household, let's take the family to church. Let's, you know, let me be a part of this other than I'm sleeping in late and I'll see you when you get back. Now, would you say that's that could possibly be a legitimate invitation to divorce court, not accompanying your spouse with you to worship?
Absolutely.
Speak on it, brother.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost worthless for her to go without you.
Wow.
Because you're not going to, I mean... You all are supposed to be one, and now you have one progressing spiritually or building a better relationship with Christ or whatever you want to call it, and then you have the other one stagnant.
In the same place.
And it's counterproductive. It's pointless. I mean, and for, you know, and I know a lot of women think, you know, now is a new day and they want to be just like men. Okay, you want to be just like a man, try going to church and then try talking your husband into going to church with you and see how that goes. Can you do it? I don't, like, they can't.
Can't do it.
They're not equipped. They're emotional creatures. They're not even wired for that type of leadership role.
And they are leading by example to some point, but it's not, a lot of times the example is not being followed by the spouse.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, and I know for me, you know, growing up, you know, my mom took me and my brother to church, and my dad didn't go until maybe I was in high school. But, you know, we went every Sunday, unless it was 2 feet of snow outside. But on the flip side, he would watch Fred Price, and he would read his Bible. Like, I would always see him reading his Bible, so it wasn't like that, you know,
Yeah, he didn't understand, right? You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a studious cat, but the whole, you know, going to church thing, he just wasn't into. And then, you know, it was funny because he did like a 180, you know, because when he started going, next thing you know, he's like on the deacon board, trustee board, head of the trustee board, you know. And so he went from not going at all, you know, at one point in my adult life, he was probably there 7 days a week.
Wow.
And that was doing volunteer work. You know, he's very handy, you know, very good with his hands. He was volunteering his time and his talents. Some of the work was paid for. You know, they paid him for it. But, you know, a lot of it was volunteer. But now on the flip side of that, today, March 13th, you know, he stopped going to church. You know, he just doesn't agree with the pastor, and you know, so he stopped going. So he hasn't gone to church, I don't think, any time this year. You know, and I keep asking him, like, hey, you going to church? Nah, not yet, no, you know, I'm waiting for the Lord to, you know, do something, talk to me. But yet and still, I still know he still reads his Bible. He probably still watches Fred Price on Sunday. So he's went, you know, did a complete turnaround. Now he's back at square one, you know, so. But
wow.
They, you know, they are, you know, they're still married, you know, and they've been married 40, what is this, what year is this? It'll be 43, I think, this year, this June, so. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, it's yeah. That's my story.
So he's not in tune with the pastor any longer.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So it's okay. More of a, you know.
So instead of and you may not have the answer to these questions, but so instead of finding another church home, it's just like, okay, I'm just going to do what I know.
Yeah, and you know, it's other opportunities, and he's mentioned, you know, that he was going to, you know, look to going back to some of his roots, the church that he went to as a child sometimes. But, you know, he hasn't taken the initiative to actually do that, you know, so not as of yet. But, you know, so right now, as far as I know, if I were to call it, you know, he's still reading his Bible on Sunday and watching Fred Price on Sunday, which is what he was doing when I was adolescent and growing up for most of my youth.
You know, I don't understand that. And I've heard, I you know, I got a friend, you know, his wife doesn't go to our church because she disagrees with the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to understand it. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. What kind of disagreement or issue you can have with a person to stop you from going to the church? I mean, what could it be that would stop you from not being able to look past that person in the pulpit and you know, work on your spiritual relationship with God? How does that work?
Well, I'll tell you what, I faced that same situation in a church I used to attend. And it got to a point that I literally could not stand going to church. And it was an issue that I took all the way up to the founder of the church. And it was over doctrinal issues that they just could not show me how they could come to what their beliefs and their teaching were. And in my opinion, was against the Word of God, to the point where I just could not stand being there, and I had to leave. You know, sometimes it's personalities.
Right.
You know, we don't all agree with and get along with everybody, and some people use those kind of things. But for me, it wasn't personality. It was that I had a serious rift in what I understood what the Word of God had to say and what they were teaching.
But Andrew,
I mean, I didn't stop going to church.
Exactly.
I just had to leave
to another church.
Yeah, I couldn't stop going to church because I had to be fed. But that's where I was in my Christian walk, you know, at that point. If I was a weak Christian, that might have blown me out of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that come crawling into church, and because, you know, whatever reason, you know, the church is not, you know, reaching out to them in the way they need it or teaching things that are off, that people walk in on their last leg and they go in there and they see some yahoo up there talking about come here with your $1,000, and they walk out and say, I'm never going to church again.
Yeah, that's what, you know, in my father's case, he wasn't getting fed anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it was.
That's what happened to me. I stopped getting fed. And it wasn't that they weren't teaching, you know, the word, you know, in other areas. It was just certain things they were teaching. It went against everything that I understood, and it shut me down to receive anything else.
Right. Right. Mm. I think that's where he's at.
Now, what about the married couple that they do go to church, but they go to separate churches?
Oh, that is a rough.
I mean, I laugh at that, but that could very well be my parents' case, you know, now, if he does start going to another church. I mean, because she's not leaving. She's been there since she was, you know, a girl, a little girl. So she's more. You know, that's where she grew up. That's all she knows. So she's not going anywhere. And she still goes, you know, every Sunday. And she's had some of the, you know, same issues with, you know, the leadership. You know, but still she goes. But, I mean, that could absolutely be my case, you know, if my dad starts going to another, you know, another gig, another church. And, I mean,
that's one of the issues that we see a lot of. When people are, you know, really in the throes of you know, challenges in their marriage. And it's one of the worst things because you have two different heads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm going to make a statement that's probably not going to sit well. But the women need to submit to where God is leading the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if the husband is not being fed, the family can't be fed. And that's just what we've seen. And a lot of times when we see that situation, then the woman wants to take the leadership from the man because he's not growing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes all kind of rifts. And almost always when they're in that situation, when they're having marital problems, it doesn't end well because they're not getting the same spiritual guidance. They're getting two different messages in two different directions. And usually what ends up happening is if the pastor has knowledge of this, the pastor that the woman is going to, he needs to sit her down and explain to her where her place is. But if that doesn't happen, a lot of times she decides, you know, I'm wearing the pants. And I don't need you because I'm getting fed where I get fed, and you do your thing, I'm doing mine, I'm going my way.
Mm.
I've seen it happen.
But I would say this, that isn't it kind of complicated to find a church that meets both of the husband and wife's needs? I mean, again, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it is a bit of a challenge. And we, you know, the church that we all go to, or the, you know, the few of us go to on here now, you know, I know that both me and my wife get fed.
Sure.
And the church we went to before that, it got to a point where we were like, neither one of us were getting fed. But, you know, I think that, you know, and even coming to where we go now, it was not my style. It was more her style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I knew we had to go somewhere. But, you know, it was more, I had to sacrifice a lot of things to, you know, to end up where I am. And I'm glad I did. You know, but I just think it goes back to it is, you know, we have a luxury around this area, Metro DC is, you know, they do church well. You know, it's just like a lot. I mean, if you don't like this one, you can go up the street or, you know, drive a few miles. And I know some folks drive into DC for church, you know, because that's where they're getting fed and,
sure,
you know, do your thing. But I think it's tough, you know, to, you know, just looking at where both the husband and wife are just like, yeah, you know, let's get involved, let's get sized up, let's go to church. And both of them are getting fed. I think that's an anomaly and probably,
yeah,
you know, in a lot of cases abnormal. You know, it does happen though.
Yeah, but how do you if you can't come together on a mutual place to worship, how can you really come together on anything else? I'm thinking anything else, in, I mean, bills, anything. How you raise the kids, anything. I'm really thinking that that would be a part of the foundation. Am I wrong?
I got a good friend of mine, real, real good friend of mine, that is in a situation that his pastor totally disrespects him. And he has been on the edge of pulling the trigger to leave this church for probably 3 years. Because his wife is so dug in and will not do it, he's been staying there. I mean, to the point of the pastor belittling him, him coming to the pastor, sitting down one-on-one, and the pastor saying, suck it up, deal with it.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, I've told y'all.
And that's your problem, you know, those kind of things. You know, and because, so it's not always an easy call. And, you know, his kids have been there since, you know, they've been born, and they're in, you know, in the kids ministry and all that kind of thing. My feel is really, really clear on it. If the man is not being fed, he can't be the priest of the home.
You know, I've said many times, you know, my first marriage was destroyed by the church.
Mm.
And that situation right there you just spoke of, brother, that's awfully familiar.
And see, that's when you have to understand what the Word of God has to say about submission, because submission isn't when you agree on things. Okay? Godly submission, and God put the man as the head of the home, and that means he's the responsible one. If he's not being fed, he is responsible to go get fed. Because, and you know, every personality isn't going to work. I mean, you know, there's people in every church that just don't get along with different people. And that's how it is. It doesn't mean somebody's right or wrong. But as the man, I strongly believe that we're called to be the priest of the home.
Sure.
And if we're not being fed as men of God, there's no way we can turn around and feed our family. It's our responsibility to cover and to feed our family. And if we're not being fed, we can't do that. And if you're sitting there steaming because this guy has dishonored and disrespected you, how can you be fed?
It's a distraction.
You know, literally almost on a weekly basis, I hear, you know, how horrible and how difficult it is for him because his wife loves it and his kids love it.
Yeah.
And his wife has said, we're not leaving.
So it's a chore for him.
It's worse
than
that.
More than a chore.
Because he's been, you know, he's being, you know, if he speaks up, he's slapped down, and he's slapped down by his wife and the pastor.
Well, there's other issues there. You know that. There's
other
issues in that situation. You know, I mean, a lot of people I'm like, we're leaving and we're not coming back. Period.
Yeah, but you know, you don't have to sit down to take a leak.
Well,
yeah. Some brothers need a realignment therapy.
I'm going to tell you right now.
The zipper's in the back.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's real easy to say we're going to leave this church and we're going to another place. But he's thinking about a lot more than just church. He's thinking about paying child support for the next 18-plus years for 3 different children.
You know, and for me, and watching it, you know, and I said to him, you know, I don't think I could do it. I said, but I really respect you for swallowing your pride and letting another man disrespect you. Because I couldn't do it, because I'd punch him in his...
Yeah, right out.
I mean, that's not me, though.
Yeah,
you know, because you ain't going to punk me.
But
I don't care what you call you, pastor, pope, church of the world. I don't care.
Yeah.
You ain't going to disrespect me.
Yeah, now the disrespect is the issue.
For sure. But isn't that a valid reason for him to go and get and find himself another church home?
He tried that, but he wanted to be in church with his family.
Wow.
Probably 2 years ago, he started seeking other churches and started going to another church, and he didn't want that, and his wife, you know, was real cold to the issue. So just like the brother that said it's easier said than done, it is. I can say I wouldn't do it, but, you know, I didn't walk a mile in his shoes either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, it's easy for us to say we wouldn't put up with that.
No, I understand.
You know, but I know, as a matter of fact, The church that we were at before we came to our current church, my wife knew we had to leave before I made the decision. Okay? But she was waiting for me to come to the point that I had to leave.
Yeah.
Now, what she did for me was she pointed to the scripture. Okay? And you know, since it was a scriptural issue for me, you know, it wasn't a hard call. I wanted to stay there because all my friends were there. I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, in our church, almost everybody we associate with, even on a social level now, is part of the church in some kind of way.
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
So it's not just, you know, where I was a nominal Christian, church was Sunday between, you know, 11 and 12, and that was it. It didn't matter. You know, now as you become, you know, deeper in your faith and deeper in your service, I mean, you know, church, it's more than just going to church.
And I'll say when, you know, we transitioned from our old church 7 years ago to the church we go to now, you know, I could just see that, you know, we had that conversation about, you know, we need to, you know, start looking elsewhere, but, you know, in no way did I, you know, just sit back and say, all right, you know, let me know where you're going to want to go, honey, and, I'll take you there, we'll go, you know, but I think she looked to me, even though she never articulated it, she looked to me to, you know, do the research, find out, you know, what would, you know, be, you know, more fruitful in our lives. And, you know, that's what we did. You know, I went to a couple churches and I landed at the one where we're at now. You know, but, you know, I led that. And I think she looked to me to do that because she wasn't, you know, doing anything. And, you know, the church we're at now, I was like, well, why don't we check this out? You know, she was like, sure, let's go. So she looked to me, you know, to do that. I think, you know, you're right, Andrew. I think that, I mean, like you said, I mean, you're the leader of the household. So, I mean, it's only right for them to look to you to make that move if there's a move to be made.
The funny thing to me, Rodney, is that when she knew we had to leave, and as soon as I came to our current church, literally the first day I was in there, I was like, this is the church. And, you know, I said, this is the church to her. And she said, well, I'm not ready to join.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no problem. Okay, let's go. Let's make sure. But I just knew it.
Yeah.
Okay? And it took her probably 2 months before she said, okay, you know, I feel comfortable in joining. But I knew it. You know, I read, I don't know if you guys remember this. They used to give out to new visitors, they used to give out like a constitution of the church.
Yes. Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they don't do that anymore. I wish they would, but I read the Constitution of the Church. Okay, and for y'all to know what that, it was like what we believe.
Right.
Yeah.
It was it wasn't just like a few lines. I mean, this was a doctrinal statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this, and I said, they get it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, all I wanted was a church that was going to teach from the Bible.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I came from a mega church with all the glitz, and, I mean, you know, 10,000 members, and you know, I mean, you'd go to church every Sunday, and it was a Broadway production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, it was empty. Okay, and I came to this church, which had a weak choir, a pathetic praise and worship, but the word was pure.
That's right.
Now, I'm telling you, our praise and worship now is off the doggone chain.
Yeah.
Okay, but I was there for the word.
That's right.
Okay, I didn't need the show. I cut through all that. Give me the word. You know, and to me, that's I needed to be fed like that.
Good words.
Now, Rodney, you've made a very important point in reference to how your wife was expecting you to get it handled, to get a handle on the where we're going to church dilemma, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we ask this question a lot. When your wife looks at you, what does she see?
Mm-hmm.
And if your wife goes to worship and you don't, How does she view you? How could she possibly, I mean, how does she view you? Does she view you, her husband, the same way that she views other people that just don't go to church, that have no... I'm saying,
yeah.
Is there a difference?
There is a difference.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like you said, there's the expectation, you know, that, I mean, I'm her husband. I mean, she expects me, you know, to be there, and it's so unfortunate when we see women with wedding rings on, and their husband is nowhere to be found.
Never met him.
Never met him. You know, if you saw him in the supermarket, wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah.
And you know they're married. It's like, come on, man. Don't, you know. And then, it just, back to the whole, you know, where you started with this thing, it just complicates a lot of things.
Sure.
If that's not, you know, in order.
Sure. So it definitely can qualify as an invitation to divorce court.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if not by anything, but just by the way the person is viewed. I mean, honestly, we view, and maybe we shouldn't, but, you know, we view people differently that don't worship. And we do because we remember, I mean, I view people differently because I remember the way I was when I did. You know what I mean? But mine is compassion. I'm hoping that, yes, at some point we'll get together and worship together at one point. But I remember when I was that guy. I was that guy that, nah, I ain't going. I'm going to go play golf. I'm going to go do something else. You know what I mean? I'm not going to nobody's church. You know, that was the last thing on my mind was going to church. You know, in my first marriage, I didn't go to church. Right? My kids didn't go to church. Grandmom went to church. You know that. But I didn't go. And
did your wife go?
She didn't go. And now today I still think that she does not go, you know, but I go. So I had to make, you know, something had to happen. A positive had to come out of my divorce. And it had to start with me. So the next move that I had to make with continuing with the new family was to correct that. Because I don't want to be that guy that I was, you know, trying to call myself the head. But I'm not giving them the spiritual food that they need. I'm not pointing them in the right direction. You know, so I have compassion with those guys, but at some point we got to figure it out. If your wife, and again, if my wife was going and I didn't go, I don't know how I would feel. But I definitely would feel like, okay, she's one up on me. Because she may come home quoting scripture. I'm like, what is she talking about? Or she may come home and you say, how was church? And she'd be like, nah, don't worry about it.
See, I would have been one of those guys, because my first marriage, you know, we didn't go to church, but I would have been one of those guys. I'd have had to be in there because I would have had to find out, you know, what are you doing there?
Exactly.
That's the kind of person I am. I'd be like, well, you keep going. Something must be going on. It must be dudes, long johns. What's going on? Yeah. Up here. You looking at the pastor? What's going on?
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy, but that would be me.
But it's not crazy. But it's not, Andrew. I mean, think about this. Dudes sometimes go to church dressed to kill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Single guys dressed to kill.
And you know what,
sitting there looking
at
these guys like they already in church. I wouldn't even have to change that part about him.
Mm.
Well, I'll tell you what. I found out one thing. A single Christian man in church got a target on him.
Target.
Line them up.
When I got divorced, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be by myself the rest of my life because, you know, my ex don't want me. And I found out, man, a single man in church, especially if he got his stuff together.
Line them up. They line it up.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I had a slow night at the club Saturday night, I knew Sunday morning. I definitely make up loss.
Because, wow. I mean, so many sisters up in that church looking for a dude. And the church I go to now, it's a good mix. But, man, the church I used to go, it must have been 80% women up in there.
Wow. It's like free money.
I'm serious, man. And, I mean... And, you know, I mean, a single man, you know what I mean? You know, 40-year-old single man up in there, man, you ain't got a chance. I had him up in there fighting. One girl, check this out. I'm dating. She's my wife now, but she was just my girlfriend. And I had one of them come up to my she was my girlfriend, and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That was my man. I ain't never had nothing to do with her. I was like, holy smokes. It was never like that at the club.
Right. Yeah. Fighting over. They weren't fighting over you at the club.
She was, man, she would grit on Glenn. I mean, cut her eyes and stuff. I'm like, Glenn said to her one day, she said, you know, have I offended you or something? Have I done something? She said, yeah, you have.
You took my man.
I was waiting on him, and you stepped in. He was mine.
She jumped the line.
Yeah. Wow.
I wasn't even aware of the line.
She cut the line.
I'm not kidding you. And
wow.
You know, us guys, we're so dumb, we don't know what's going on.
Exactly. Oblivious.
And Glenn kept saying to me, that girl likes you. I was like, no, she doesn't. Yeah, she does. I was like, no, I'm really oblivious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Good words. The next gentleman was, and Andrew, you're probably going to get a kick out of this story. For those who just got on the call, I work at a car dealership in the finance department, and I deal with a lot of people, you know, on finances, and certain times their personal information comes up. But I'm not going to do any names or anything like that, just a situation. One guy was buying a car, and every time we would negotiate and get to a certain number, he had to get on the phone and call his wife. Okay. I don't know why she wasn't there with him. Maybe she was home with the kids or whatever the case may be. I think he did have a lot of kids. That's why he needed a bigger car. Okay, so, you know, and Keith must have called her 7 or 8 times.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot. I mean, he would leave the office, go outside, talk to her, come back, you know what I mean? You know, and I'm trying to be as sympathetic as possible. I'm like, yeah, I understand, you know, you got to consult with your wife while making decisions. And he's like, bro, you don't even understand. I'm like, okay, enlighten me. He says that they had a mortgage. He negotiated the refinance of his mortgage with the mortgage company. They had a good mortgage at first. He did not include his wife in the decision-making of that mortgage. Okay. They eventually got, when they refinanced, then they took cash out to do home improvements. But what they didn't know was they got a predatory mortgage next. It was a bad mortgage that he negotiated. So they eventually lost the house. Long story.
Wow.
Short. Yeah, yeah. So his wife holds him responsible for that. For that, for them losing the house, negotiating the mortgage, changing the whole nine yards. So before he makes any moves financially, she's got to be in 200 feet. I mean, she's got to be all the way in. He can't buy a candy bar without making a phone call. Now the question is can that be an invitation to divorce court?
Yeah, that marriage ain't gonna last.
You being the cause of a foreclosure happening, your family losing their home?
Yeah, if she doesn't get to a point of forgiveness, that marriage won't last.
But is it forgiveness or trust?
It's forgiveness. Because one of the things, you know, when we talk about, you know, submitting, wives submitting to their husbands.
Sure.
Okay, what that means is you putting it in God's hands and say, God, whatever it is, I don't agree with it, but you know what? I'm submitting to the leadership you've put in our house. Good or bad, you're not going to continue to throw that in his face. That's what she's doing, and she's going to destroy that marriage. Because at some point, he's going to say, enough is enough. Unless he's just a.
I mean, the guilt is probably something that is just overwhelming him because he's doing exactly what she's saying to do.
Yeah, but that doesn't last. At some point, a man says, I'm done. Okay? You know, hey, we make bad choices. We make, you know, we make decisions sometimes that don't work. But I can't pay for this for the rest of my life. I mean, you come to a point where you have to say, okay, so we made a bad choice. It looked good. We didn't understand. I didn't understand. Okay, but you can't hold that over me the rest of my life. I can't call you because I want to buy a new, you know, TV or VCR, and I got to go through every single thing every time I do something. I mean, at some point, you got to say, hey, you know, time out.
You got to get it back.
You do.
Yeah.
You can't live your life like that. I mean, you know, there's some punks like that that could do it, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a real man at some point is going to say, okay, all right, I made a bad choice. You made bad choices too. Okay, you know, we got to move forward.
So you're saying the because I said so should work in that case.
Well,
I'm buying this car because I said so.
You know, we try to get the information to make a good choice, to make a good decision. But even with all the information, I mean, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what. I don't know if any of y'all bought a house that today is worth less than what it was worth when you bought it.
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's everybody.
Most of us are in that situation.
Sure.
Except for me.
Yeah. Okay, except for Rodney. All right? If you bought a house within, you know, the last 5 years, you probably are in that situation. Now, that's not a good situation to be in. You couldn't foresee it. I mean, I have some investment properties that I owe more than they're worth.
Sure.
But I couldn't foresee it. Now, you know, luckily I'm in a situation I don't have to foreclose on them. But it's, you know, those things happen. That's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, you know what? You know, okay, wasn't the best choice at that time. I did the best I could. Let's move forward.
All right. You won't be able to get anything else because you're too worried about what's going to happen, the negative.
Mm.
You would never, ever be able to strive for anything in your life. You could never start your own company. You could never do anything.
Because of that.
Because of that. Honey, you know, I have a feeling that it's time, you know, to stretch out and to do my own thing. I mean, most people, if they had a choice, would rather run their own enterprise than work for somebody else.
For sure.
Okay, not everybody, but most people would prefer that. But if that's the situation, that's off the table. Because what if you make the wrong choice?
Yep.
I mean, P-Town has stepped out and is chasing the American dream.
Yep.
Okay? Now, if that was the situation, P-Town, would you be able to do that?
No.
No way, right?
You'd be right there.
Okay.
You'd be right there at home.
You mean
right at home.
You're going to leave a secure job to start something? No. If I had to hear that all the time, it would drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Anybody else? Yeah, that was unfortunate to hear it. You know, I tried to be as supportive as I could, but I had to understand. Because, you know, at some point I wanted to try to think like the wife was thinking. Try to, you know, be fair on both ends, you know. And maybe it's wrong of her to blame him for the foreclosure. And I'm pretty sure that happens in marriage all the time, because there's a lot of foreclosures going on and have been going on. Somebody has to take the hit. Somebody is taking the blame on one side or the other side of the marriage. I don't think it's one person. I don't think both people are saying they collectively got us both. You know, so you see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it's happened so much, it makes you wonder, how is that affecting the stability of the marriage when you lose the home?
I was, funny thing that happened this weekend. Funny thing. My wife's mom passed away.
Huh.
And so we had the funeral Sunday. We buried her mom, no, Saturday. And something in my heart told me a verse came out, and, you know, and it was my time to do my little thing, stand up there. And what I had prepared, God told me not to say. He told me to say, to talk about the husband. Sharon's father, and not, you know, go always, you know, everybody else is going up there doing announcements about the wife, about Sharon's mom, how great she is, and blah, 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 blah. And he wanted me to make sure that everybody knew that don't forget about the husband, that for 53 years he ran his household, and she was submissive to him. And he told me about Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, I think it's the first sentence. It says that wives need to be submissive to their husbands. And this is a case where if he says it's time for us to go to a new church, I'm not feeling it, I don't think it's right for our family, and she says no, then she's not following what she's supposed to be understanding.
Amen.
Now, I could be wrong, but I believe it's, somebody can look it up, but I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 3, first verse.
Yeah, that's good words, and you know, that was a risk. You know, if you have your mother-in-law in the, you know, in front of you.
Yeah. But the thing is in order for all of our marriages, in order for this call to work, in order for, you know, life to have balance, there's some structure and rules we have to follow.
That's right.
And it says it all through the Bible. We all know it. All the way through Revelations. It says it all the way through the Bible. You know, man should love his wife as he loves the Lord. Women should be submissive to their husband. And you stand up there and say your vows. It's part of your vows. And I believe sometimes when women think their men are weak in certain situations, they take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I'll tie it back to the, you know, the whole foreclosure situation. And, you know, with, I've refinanced my home, I've lost count. But, you know, essentially, my wife trusts me enough. You know, she gives me a little grief, you know, like we signing another 30-year, you know, what are we doing here? We've been in the house 10 years, we still got a 30-year mortgage, and I'm just like, sign the paperwork.
You know. So, is that one of those?
It pretty much. But she trusts me.
Sure.
You know, she trusts that I'm not bringing home a 5-year arm. You know,
about a 2-year arm.
Yeah, or a 2-year arm. You know, and the one thing about it, I mean, she wouldn't sign anything like that anyway. But, you know, on the flip side, if I was like, honey, we need to do this, she probably would. You know, because she trusts me. But I wouldn't bring anything like that to her. You know, but essentially, when it comes down to signing, you know, the paperwork, she trusts me. You know, and I'm just like, sign there, you know, initial there. And she's like, okay. Because she trusts me. I think that when you're talking about, you know, your home, you know, and that's something you have to be, you know, and the perfect example, like you said, Mr. Host, is that you can't be messing around with what you're doing with your home, because you end up out of a home, you know, like
sure.
The situation was. So,
yeah.
You know, that's something that, I mean, you can mess up by, you know, splurging on some clothes or a suit or camera equipment or something, you know, that's not going to ruin, you know, potentially get you an invitation to divorce court. You know, maybe if you splurge every month, you know, it might, but, you know, your home, that's something you have to, you know, you got to make sure that's right. You got to make sure that's right.
You know, that's the one thing, well, that's one of the few things that my wife trusts me unequivocally on is the mortgages and refinance and stuff. I mean, no question asked, she'll sign the paperwork without even reading it if I tell her go for it.
Mm.
But now, when it comes to buying a tire for a car, look out.
Uh-oh. but Ike, even on the I even think that they don't want to have to. Well, let me see the paperwork, you know. Let me read.
You know, it's a trip. You know, some things they want to know, but then they don't want to know.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? They want to know because it's like they're testing you to see if you know what you're talking about. But then when you start getting down in the weeds on them, they say, okay, I don't need all the details. Decision. And especially when they got to pay something on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then it's like, well, I'm trying to give you all the info so you can see exactly what you're paying for and how we got to this point. Well, just be the man to make the decision. Okay, well, we're going to do this. Oh, okay, well, why are we going to do that? Well, let me look on Google and see if that's really the case. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah. Good words.
How do we get out of this?
Yeah, that's good words.
Good words, good words. For those that don't know, we have a blog on Facebook. Married Men Don't Talk Unisex blog. And for those that just came on, the topic of tonight is invitation to divorce court. And my monkey wrench for 10 o'clock, I'm going to take a question out of the blog. Might be Robert's question. Can intimacy be the same after an affair?
Wow.
That's a very intriguing question.
Wow.
What's the question again?
Can the intimacy same after an affair?
It can be better.
If the man cheats, it can be, and it can be better. But if the woman cheats, nah.
Well,
it can be better?
First of all, I really believe that once an affair happens, the marriage you had is over. Because the trust is shattered. That doesn't mean that you have to get a divorce, but the marriage you had is over. Now, you can build a new marriage, but the marriage you had is over. And now it's going to take a whole lot to get to the point that, first of all, intimacy is oneness. You can't have oneness when you have no trust. Because that means somebody has dropped the wall of defense. And by your virtue of stepping out, you've shown them that they can't do that.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it has to be that way. It just means you got a long, hard road. That's why it's not worth it.
Good words. Good words. Anybody else? Rodney, you got some of those replies. I know you do.
I mean, I think it's like Andrew said, I think the key part is that you have to realize that the marriage you had before is over. And granted, that does not necessarily mean divorce. It just means that you got to start over, because what you had before the affair is going to be different when, you know, after the affair. So, I mean, I think that's the key part to that is you have to realize that it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
Divorce court. Different. I mean, eventually, man. I mean, let's keep it real. As men, there's certain information that we're going to want to know. How it happened. Why was he so much different than me? You know what I mean? What was I not doing? Where was I? Where were you on the night? You know, all these questions. And then the trust. When they go out to, you know, get they say, yeah, I'm going to the grocery store. When they get back, where's your receipt? All kind of things happen, especially with women. Then you're checking cell phones, checking emails. I mean, how do you get back to normality? How do you get back to where it was normal after that? And then, how do you lay back down with them again, wondering those same issues? What was this person like? What did she do with him? You know what I mean? You know how we think. I think both sexes have valid questions when it comes to an affair.
Yep. And it's tough. I think you have to take one day at a time. You know, and I think that we'll just speak on us. You know, if we were to step out there, I think you got to give up your phone. You can't be like, you know, you can't check my phone. I mean, you're just only asking for trouble.
You done lost all that manhood is gone.
Exactly. So you will be calling on the phone, honey, I'm over here at the car dealership. I mean, it's the same principle. I mean, so you have to give up some of your privacy, unfortunately, because that's how you, you know, got caught up, you know.
Okay.
If you want to stay with your marriage, you know, if you want.
Okay.
I mean, I think you have to say, you know, bear it all. Say, hey, you know, here's my email password, you know, and that's going to only put her at ease because she's still thinking, you know, just like you said, what did the other chick do? You know, how did, you know, why did he go to her? What was the, you know, what was going on? So I think you only help put her mind at ease if you can put her mind at ease, you know, by just being transparent.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie, you hit the nail on the head. It's a long, hard process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not always successful because in ourselves, we really don't have the ability to forgive that.
That's right.
Okay, we really don't.
Gotcha.
You know, and I don't know how you do it without, you know, without Christ, and I'm not trying to make this, you know, some kind of religious call, but, you know, you the only way that can really be accomplished is for you to look at yourself and realize, hey, every time I've dropped the ball, you know, he's forgiven me.
Now,
going to Christ with that type of forgiveness, that's the only way. And that's still a hard, long struggle because you're thinking, you know, all right, tell me about Long Dong Silver.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, Joe the Gunslinger.
Yeah, now listen. Also on the blog, somebody brought that up too, and one of the women that had been cheated on said Christ has nothing to do with it. She said Christ has nothing to do with that person going out cheating. So, I mean, I do understand the recovery of it is going to take Christ. But to a person that's scorned, they don't want no parts of it.
Right. And the bottom line is, you know, the bottom line is it really comes down to two things. Number one, it has to be, you have to get to a point of forgiveness.
Sure.
And second of all, it has to be a point of repentance. And I don't know, that might be first. You know, you have to have the person that has done what they've done has got to be repentant. And I'm gonna tell you what, we've seen people in counseling, it's amazing. And it's usually dudes. Yeah, I did it and
wow.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I mean that's like, can you imagine that?
Yeah, but sometimes for us, it's justifiable, and I'll get to that later. In our mind, we justify what we did.
Yeah, it got to be. I've saw several dudes be like, uh-huh, and? So it's out. Now what? What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm banging her, and?
Yeah.
You leaving or what? You can leave.
No, but isn't that a little similar to the situation that we just talked about? Where the gentleman had to try to win his trust back over his wife for getting the house foreclosed on, and every move he made, he had to consult with her. Wouldn't that be kind of similar to somebody cheating, and every move they make, they still have to? And we said that marriage wasn't going to work the way that it was situated.
No, it won't unless you come to a point of forgiveness. That's why I said before that woman has got to get to a point to forgive her husband. That husband has to get to a point to forgive himself.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, to me, that's not as deep an issue as adultery because he didn't go into that saying, I'm coming here to lose the family house. You know, he may not have understood finance. He may not have understood contracts.
Sure.
You know, there's some slicksters out there that can get you.
Yeah.
Even when you think you can't be got, they can get you. You know, so you got situations that are different. You know, I mean, you know, adultery is not an accident. I mean, you ain't walking down the street, slipped on a banana peel, and jammed this chick.
Yeah.
Okay, that wasn't an accident.
Sure.
You know, you could have got, you know, caught up and signed something that you didn't quite understand. I mean, come on. All of us that own houses, we know we sit there closing with a stack of papers. We act like we're reading it, but we don't have a clue what we're signing.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
That is right, and we're trying to get the keys.
Well, I mean, we know the difference between an adjustable arm and a 30-year fix. We all know
which
that.
Is true. That's right.
Yeah, now I walked away from an arm at closing.
Yeah, but you know what? Every arm isn't a bad deal. That's
okay.
Because something is adjustable doesn't mean it's a bad deal.
You're right.
You know, so what I'm saying is, you know, we don't understand all the time what's good. And you know what looks good today may not be right tomorrow.
That's right.
I mean, like I said, how many of us own homes that are valued at less than what we bought them for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with that arm, that
right, you made a bad choice. Well, we can't see the future. That's why God said,
you're right.
You got to give it to me because you don't know. I know today and tomorrow, so I'm steer you away from some stuff.
Right.
You know, but you know you can't pull that when you know. Hey, honey, I didn't know I was walking down the street and the next thing I knew I was banging this chick. Now that might work with your wife, but that ain't working with mine.
No. Not mine. I'll be coming to your house. Can I sleep on the couch? Straight up and down. But can the same old routine in marriage give you an invitation to divorce court? And I want to give
routine?
You an example.
Sex just, or just the whole routine?
No, the whole routine. I watched this movie the other day, Tyler Perry, Mr. Deeds, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that.
And
yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell it.
Well, I'm going to tell you just a little bit.
No, just tell it. I probably won't see it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to see this.
It's
actually
good.
Pretty good.
Okay.
But, you know, in the beginning, every move that this guy made, she predicted.
Uh-huh.
What he was going to eat, what he was going to say, what he was going to wear, predicted. And that made him less spontaneous, less attractive to her.
Wow.
She was losing her appeal. He was losing his appeal, you know. And I hear people on the phone all the time. They get off the phone, they say, I love you. Every time, I love you.
I love you too, Tony.
Thank you. And look, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But then when you really have to sit down and say, you express, I love you to your spouse, how much volume will it really have if you're always saying it every 5, 7, I mean, how much, you know, anybody understand what I'm saying? When it's the same routine over and over again, when it's time to do something that you mean to do, how much weight does it really carry?
You know, Tony, it's funny because, you know, one of the things that Glenn and I always talk about, especially when we sit down with couples, you know, you got to have a balance in your life.
Sure.
Okay? So many people get into this routine or into this system where it's just like mundane. And so many couples today don't have fun in their life. I married my wife because I loved to have fun with her. I enjoyed being with her. And they get into this mundane routine, and because all of a sudden they're married, I ask people all the time, when's the last time you had fun?
Mm-hmm.
And they look at each other like, what?
Yeah, I mean, look. We say, okay, well, we need to do different things, so we'll throw a date night in. But the date night's the same night.
Mm.
Now we all, I mean,
no,
a lot of us is guilty of it, but the date night's the same night. And then the things that we do, they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm thinking you need to get to Aruba.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're right. Vacations are more often will probably be the cure to some of that. But when it gets to that point, does your spouse have a valid reason to say, you know what, this is not working for me any longer? Because I'm not seeing anything different. It's the same smell, the same fragrance, the same place, the same food, the same TV shows, the same everything.
Yeah,
I really think you got to keep it fresh. You got to have fun. I mean, think back to the time when we were dating.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we were creative.
Of fun things to do. you want to hear something funny? My wife and I, we would do the date thing, and we decided, okay, we're going to do it, you know, once a month. You plan a date, I plan a date, thing like that. And it got to a point where, you know, it got to be who could spend more money. I'm not kidding. And then we said, okay, we're going to make a deal. Okay, you got to plan a whole date that can only cost $50.
Wow.
That's okay, cheap. Now that may not sound, but that's hard to do.
Yeah, you a cheap date.
Be creative, have fun, but only spend $50. I mean, food and everything.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing. You know, and it's, you know, it's neat to be able to say, you know, now most of us, you know, got it married because we liked the person that we were marrying.
Sure.
And then we get married and we get caught up in this routine and we look back and go, I don't even know you.
Yep.
We had a couple in here last night and he said, I don't even feel married.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
It is that. That's an invitation to divorce court.
Yeah, and I said to her, how does that make you feel? She said, terrible. I said, when was the last time y'all had fun? I said, my wife and I are going to the Bahamas next month. I'm chasing mama on the beach. You got to have fun, whatever your fun is.
Yeah, and I go back to the routine piece is that, you know, this Friday is my wife's birthday. And she really likes the Cheesecake Factory. And we don't get to go to the Cheesecake Factory, number one, because it's not close. And we got two little kids. And we don't take them to the Cheesecake Factory because, you know, they waste a bowl of macaroni and cheese. Or it's not really for children anyway. So we try to go when we don't have the kids. So I took off Friday. She's off Friday. And, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, so we're going to the Cheesecake Factory? I was like, nah. But it's my birthday, you know. I was like, nah. Yeah, I'm like, it's not, we're not doing that. We're doing something different. And, you know, I'm taking her to Stony River. You know, I think I told y'all this a couple weeks ago. So I think Tony said it sounded like a golf course or something. But,
yeah.
You know, but it's sad, you know, and she was like, ooh, Stony River. You know, I mean, but this is—I've never been there before. I did some research, you know, talked to a couple people, and honestly, I don't know how it is, but I know that she's gonna like it just because it's something different. You know, we went to the Cheesecake Factory 2 or 3 months ago. You know, when we didn't have the kids, you know, went for lunch or whatever. So, and I was just like, we're not doing that, and she was excited. You know, she was like, wow, you know, something new. You know, I'm Stony River. I've never heard of it. I mean, because you gotta keep it. You know, like you said, Ms. Oates, you can't be like, all right, you know, it's date night. You want to go to your favorite restaurant, honey? You know, she's not buying that. You know, you got to do something different. You got to keep it spicy.
You know, I'm glad to hear y'all say that. Remember I told y'all about a while back I took my wife to Ritz-Carlton down at, Pentagon City or whatever?
National Harbor.
That was, no, Ritz-Carlton
Pentagon
at Pentagon City. Remember that a while back?
Yeah.
Lodges. Man, I'm still living off that deposit.
Yeah.
You heard me? Y'all know how long ago that's been.
That's been a long time. You know, that's been a long time.
She still get every. All I got to do is bring it up. It's like, oh, yes.
And who told you about that? One of us told you about that?
I told y'all about that.
Yeah.
You told. I remember. Well, you know, my wife told me that. You know, her birthday was this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me for her birthday, I was going to take her, since I had to work up here, I got a hookup in Atlantic City. So she was all excited, and, you know, and then she got a little depressed because of what happened. But she told me yesterday, you know, we're still going because I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your wife just needs something different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's detrimental.
It just needs something different.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, good words. Because that will definitely get you an invitation. And that's probably, and you know what? Thinking about it, that's one that you don't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a sleeper right there. Because you might be okay with the routine, if it's you. Or she might be okay with the routine. And whoever's not okay with the routine is eating them up inside. I'm tired of doing the same thing. I'm tired of the same old same. I'm tired of this. I'm tired. And then you thinking everything's okay because we're still on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We got bowling on Thursdays. We got bingo on Fridays. We go to the Easter market on Saturday mornings. We go to lunch with a grandma and mom and whoever after church on Sunday. We got Bible study on Wednesday. You know, everything is a routine. You can just check it off because that's what's going to happen. And you thinking you're right on schedule.
Mr. Host, some of the stuff, you know, I've tried some stuff that did not work. I mean, it was an abject failure. But at the same token, I didn't get as much flack because it was trying something different, trying something new, being spontaneous. Yeah. You know, and we laugh about it now. It's like, yeah, that really didn't work. You know, that. But, I mean, it wasn't like, what? You know, I didn't get the flack because it was a risk. I mean, and sometimes you got to take a risk and say, you know, just like I say, I'm going to this restaurant. I don't know how, you know, the reviews said it's good, but I don't know if, you know, I don't know if she's going to like it or not. You know, it's going to depend. I think she does, but, again, if she doesn't, I don't see her giving me you know, a bad rap about it because it is something different. You know, he tried it and it didn't work.
Good words. Good words. We talked about men stepping out and in our mind justifying it. I want to get on that just a little bit. There's a term called 68 and I owe you one. Anybody know what that means?
Say that again.
Come on, man.
Whoever knows what that means, just kind of help everybody else that don't get it. 68 and I owe you one, because it's adult hour and we're getting ready to take it there.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Certain things, and the reason why I say 68 and I owe you one is because certain men are still on their job when it comes to that. But it's not being, the favor's not being returned after marriage. Now, am I safe in saying that?
Wait a minute now. Are you saying that the woman don't return the favor?
I'm not talking about you, brother.
No. Come on. I just want to make sure I understand you're saying the woman ain't returning the favor, right?
I'm just saying the poll survey says. The survey says it don't include Ike. That's all I'm saying.
You will be shocked to know that I have hit a bit of a lacking patch in that department. So yeah.
Okay. All right.
But you know, me and the War Department, we're quickly working on a strategy
Yeah. So the GPS navigation was not off course then.
No, you're on my street. What I'm saying is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it though. Is that a bona fide invitation to divorce court?
Absolutely. Well, not divorce, but infidelity. Absolutely.
Infidelity.
Infidelity is the first couple steps. That's an introduction.
First steps to divorce court.
I don't know how many times. See, now I'm an advocate for this. I don't know how many times I've said it on this call. Women do not know the value of performing that task.
Yeah.
Right. They know the value. That's why they don't do it.
And that's why they get divorced. Lady, I hope you heard that.
Yeah.
Because what you won't do, the other one will. That's how we fall.
It is. And like I said, in our mind, it's justifiable. It's like justifiable homicide. Think about it. You can figure a reason why a hundred reasons why you pulled the trigger. The man was in your house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same way. Why did we pull the trigger? Because it wasn't happening the way it was supposed to, or it just stopped. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way to go with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying survey says that that's why men step out.
Well, you had to remind them, you know. I know I'm going to handle my situation. I'm going to hint, and I'm straight. Not saying I'm keeping score or anything, but, you know.
Need to count
a scorecard. Well, we keeping score. when it comes down to birthdays and holidays, we keep them score. It's easy to keep that score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But how does it get to that point? Does anybody, I mean, that may be the $64 million question. How does it get to that point where you're thinking about an exit strategy because of that? And it's important. Am I right? To us.
It's important.
It's important.
I think if she's just not willing to try, I think if after you've hinted, you've had flat-out conversations and everything you try, she's shutting you down, it's like, well, now what? And please don't let it be like, you know, the movie I Think I Love My Wife, where you got that fine friend and you done messed around and you messed up and gave her a glimpse of the problem you got at home.
Yeah.
Said something off the chain to you like, well, that would never happen to me. I would make sure my man is serviced every day. And that's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what ends up happening anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that girl ends up saying that you end up messing with. I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, because, fellas, you don't want to be caught in a room with Kerry Washington.
No.
No.
You surely do not.
No.
But, you know, that also goes back to women thinking, you know, like, how did she end up with that dude? Well, she was willing to do what the other woman wasn't willing to do.
Because it's simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real simple.
It's not Chinese arithmetic. It's simple.
That thing goes past looks, everything else.
It does. I mean, it's real simple. And I'm just saying. It's simple. It's not rocket science.
No.
Okay, we are simple people. We're very simple. We don't, you know what I mean, just give us a couple things and we can rule the world. A couple things. You know, and that happens to be on the top of the list of a lot of things, I would say. Am I right? That's on the top of the list. You know what I mean? I mean, you can get that and not even get the other and be all right and be pacified for a minute. Did I say pacified? Anyway.
Pun intended.
You see, but it's
that
real
should
talk.
Be in the rule book for that off week.
You said for the off week.
For the off week. For the off week.
You know what? You know that. Now he hit a point. I don't know what it is about the off week. Why isn't that just automatic on the off week?
It's automatic.
Ladies, if you want to do something amazing, if you want to change the laws of gravity, sweet, that is your time to earn your MVP. That's your time to earn that franchise contract. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the off week.
That shows you that it's all about her pleasing you. It's purely selfless. She is doing whatever she can to please you. She don't get nothing out of the deal. That says so much.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know many. I don't know any woman that does that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we just didn't marry him. Did I say that?
I don't know any woman.
I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did.
But
you got one. You got
but
one up on me.
No. But it's the truth. I'm not lying. It's the truth. We've all had them. We've all had those. That was their thing. They didn't care. It was 24/7. Whenever you, hey, let me handle this business. They didn't get the ring.
Yeah.
He said yeah.
They didn't get the ring. I mean, I got one in mind I'm thinking about right now. Just didn't get the ring. And I'm like, you know what I mean? But I understand because that's what it was based on, which is not enough for marriage.
But now ain't you looking at that dude that's with her now? Like, what if she's married now? And let's say that dude didn't know about her tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's like, you know, it's an added bonus now.
Yeah.
Or it could be she don't even do it to him now because they're married.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
I think I done turned the light on in some closets here.
Yeah. And that's that dude that you see out in public with her, and y'all catch brief eye-to-eye contact for 2 seconds.
And she starts...
And I know what you know, and you know what I know. And that's the end of it, because you know what he got.
Yeah. It ran in that 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, I hope y'all are listening.
It's important.
Hang up and go handle your business.
We do know that you know what we know that you know.
It is important. It is important. I can't stress it enough. For us, it's important. Brothers, go out and pay to get that done.
Yes, sir.
That's the beginning of time, and they spend, and not a little bit of money, they get that done. And they go home and be like, I didn't cheat. I mean, think about it. I mean, think about it. The White House, he got his knee dirty. It didn't go good.
In the White House.
I didn't cheat. I didn't have relations with that woman.
Nope.
She just topped me off. I mean, it wasn't good. I mean, look, if you think about that, that may be a classic example of what we're talking about right here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the girl's name again with the dress?
Monica.
What role would Monica have had in this entire situation had Hillary been handling that portion of that business?
Yeah, she wouldn't have had no role.
No role.
But
no role.
But could you say that Monica saved their marriage?
I don't see how.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All I know is...
Yeah.
Only thing I know is, and I think we've all been there, life is different before you're married.
Yeah.
For all of it, it was different for me. And then when you get married and here come the kids and the routines, guess what leaves? You know, you're now in 68 and I owe you one territory. you know what I'm saying? And it's like, how do we get to this point?
Yeah, but listen. And again, I understand that. I really do. But when the schedule gets to be a mess, and you don't have the time, it should never be a 68 and I owe you one, because that don't take the whole night of making love. Let me think about it. It's in, it's out, let me, 1, 2, 3, and I'm done. Now, that may not be a lot for, you know what I'm saying, the woman, just like you said, and I understand that, you know, but that has never been a long, drawn-out process.
No, it hasn't.
There's time for that, I would say.
I just think that they just have a problem with the whole selflessness, you know.
Yeah.
I think they're just programmed that way, because just the act, I mean, it's just such a submissive act that it just goes against, you know. I don't know. It's just like they just can't wrap their mind around it.
So is it something that is okay to do to someone? Is that something that's okay for someone not married to do, but then it's not okay for someone that's married to do? Does it become less respectful if someone married does it, like a wife?
No, not at all. I just don't think that they understand how important it is to us.
Okay. And, you know, whoever's listening, you know, I know this sounds raunchy. It is, but, you know.
Oh, you're in my wheelhouse.
We would rather talk about it. Look, we would rather talk about it on the real than not talk about it. Because, you got to know. It's important.
That's one of them unspoken words. They don't want to know anything. They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Real talk to any one of us is subject at the workplace, at the supermarket, at Walmart, wherever we at, we're subject to get our knees buckled. If someone walks up, a woman walks up and gets in your ear and says, you know what I want to do to you right now? And it's that, we in trouble. Now, we don't cheat and we faithful and all that, but just the thought, you know, they say if you think about it, you've already done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's risky business. The next chick don't have to say nothing, but this is what I like to do when I'm with men. How you going to take that? Your coworker hit you with that. It's tough.
I didn't take it very well when I was single. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we don't want we just don't want any parts of the temptation. So,
no.
So just know that it's important. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is, and maybe somebody can help me with the definition of a calling, if you know what I mean. You have a calling. Some people say you have a calling on your life. There's a calling. There's something that maybe that God has put you on a mission or your family members or something that you always wanted to do, a calling. Am I right? Rodney, help me out with that. How would you define that, a calling?
In the context of causing possibly leading to the invitation to divorce court?
We're getting there, but I just want to define a calling.
It's along the lines of, purpose-driven life. You know, all of y'all have probably read a few pages of that. I know I never finished it, but, it's all about, just living out your purpose because we're all, it's right. A myth that we were all created equal. You know, and in some context that is true, but in a lot of ways it's not, because some people can get up and speak in front of 10,000 people and it'd be no problem, whereas another person would be like, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah.
You know, but that was in you, from birth, I think, and some people can cultivate that, but, we all have different gifts and talents, so back to, the definition of a calling is that, we were purposed. We were born for his purpose, not our purpose. And, that what we're getting to is that, we have to find what that purpose is and walk in it.
I love it. I love it. Right, yeah. There, brother.
You got to find that purpose. But you know what? That purpose comes with issues. I mean, there's people always watching, if that makes sense, to the point where when we're talking about, it's a way to the divorce, it brings pressure into the relationship. Whatever you do, just like you said, if you're a great speaker, that means you got to go out and speak to a lot of people. Then you may grab groupies, as what they call,
sure,
everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
That temptation. I mean, even Martin Luther King, as great as he was, had that temptation.
And you really just hit on something, P-Town. You probably don't even know.
And Rodney? And Rodney?
Yeah.
I haven't even asked the question. That's the funny part.
No, but...
I'm not going to. I'm going to let y'all run with it.
But you don't even realize that. I mean, how long we've been talking? How long we've been talking? We've been talking, we've been talking on these shows for over 3 years.
Yep.
So just think about if a woman out there in cyberspace, somewhere in America, somewhere in the world, has been listening to our shows.
Mm.
And then when they meet you, they're like, "You're Tony?" You already done bagged her. It's like, whoa, back, because of the good talk you got on Tuesday night. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you run over and she's like, "You Rodney? Oh, I've been listening to you." And
that's,
it's like, I don't
you,
even
Rodney.
Know you.
That's already happened to you, Rodney.
It has, in a way.
Kill them with that deep voice, Rodney.
It's happening.
No, it's because we, and all of us on here, we got that good talk. We head of households. We, just like we talk about it, but the whole point is we try to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like we don't get on here and say, "Yeah, Tracy came up on me, she got the knee dirt." We don't even roll like that. And women just eat that stuff up, and it's like, get away from me. We know, it's like, no, it ain't like that.
Everybody loves a hero.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
See you as virtuous, and they see you as a hero, and they want a piece.
Yeah.
Of course, you lose your luster once you've fallen.
Once you've fallen, you're done.
That's right.
Yeah, you ain't
lost.
Nothing.
You lost.
Yeah, and you look at. Let me tell you this, brother. You know, you look at companies, corporations, who've been around for hundreds of years, and they have a reputation that's built up over those hundreds of years. Could be wiped out in an instant. In an instant, if something happens.
Yeah.
You know, whereas it took years to build up their credibility.
Sure.
Took years, and then something happened. They're no longer, they're done in an instant. Something that took 300, 400 years, and in an instant, just like that, they're done.
I just saw it on the news yesterday. President Reagan was up because the economy's up. Then gas went up, and his ratings went down.
That'll do it every time.
And the sad part about it, they said gas prices were going to go up.
But I mean, it's just like us, you know. It's just like us, you know. And just like I said, we got that good talk on Tuesday nights, and you know, we all have our little struggles and everything. But if one of us fall, it's gonna be like, man, you let Tracy get you? Come on, son. I mean, how you? It's gonna be hard to come back from that, fellas.
It is.
My favorite man that I like to always reference, Tiger Woods. Oh, wait. Got him.
Yeah.
This man can't play golf no more.
Game all messed up.
Yeah.
A waitress made the phone call at the wrong time. Wife gets it. He running in the trees.
Ducking.
He can't hit the ball no more. He lost his house, money, everything.
Faking knee injuries.
Yeah, he walked on the course the other day.
But the question was, is it an invitation to divorce court when your spouse gets in the way of your calling?
Wow. Man, you just hit him in the mouth with that.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to, it actually goes back to the conversation that you had before you even got married. When you had that conversation sitting at the dinner table about your dreams.
If you had the conversation.
Yeah. And where now you had the opportunity where you're doing it. You know, one thing is the problem about when you do things is like, you gotta have, you know, it changes the foundation of the home. And some women are not in a position where they want to change what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid of, they're always thinking of the negative. They're afraid that you're going to fail.
You got some resentment going on, though, I would think. Because of those feelings, and now you can't. I mean, there are certain people that are called to do big, huge things.
Mm-hmm.
That if it doesn't manifest, it could affect lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got married, and now you put that calling on the back burner because a spouse doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
When do you make a decision, no, this is more important than you? Or is it? Is it even valid to say my calling is more important than my marriage?
Wow.
That I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question because, you know, I'm following my dream. I told my wife before I was 40 or at 40, I wanted to start my own business. and I've done that. And so she already knew, and she was cool with it. But I just don't know anybody who, you know, says at the age of 40, I want to become a rapper. So, you know.
Your wife wouldn't follow that dream, trust me.
No, yeah. That's a dream,
but,
not a call.
You know,
that's
man.
Not different. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anybody, so I don't know how to answer that, be honest with you.
Well, I mean, well, you got to flip it around. This is something that you've planned forever, as long as you've been able to think for yourself. And now you've got this wife. And then she says, no, I'm not going to support that. What do you do?
I don't know. You do it. I bet you right now, Peyton Manning's wife is like, I don't think you need to go out there and play football no more. One hit, and then I'm have to deal with you as a handicap, a vegetable for the rest of your life.
Or she says,
I believe
do
that
it.
Conversation has happened.
Okay, or she says,
his household.
But what would be the most effective way for her to make her point?
I don't know.
Do it, and we're done.
Wow, that's strong.
I mean, right or wrong. That would be the most effective way for her to make that statement. Go play football, risk getting injured, and that means to me that you don't care about the family, you don't care about me, you don't care about the rest of our lives. Sign that contract, and we are done. What's he going to do?
He on the plane now looking for a contract.
Yeah, I mean,
it's deep, but we can't say it doesn't happen.
Sure it happens, and you look at, and I think Peyton is a perfect example because, I mean, his family's going to have to relocate, and, I mean, his wife was probably in a position where, you know, he's in the final leg of his career. And they probably settled. She probably has friends in Indianapolis, you know, all of that stuff. Whereas he moved across the country just to play ball for another couple of years. That might be an invitation to divorce court.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be. Because it's selfish. I think it's borderline selfish.
Yeah.
At that point. You've done everything that you could find. I mean, you got your Super Bowl, you got your championships, you got your legacy, you've got all MVPs up the wazoo. You've got it all.
Yeah.
And now you can risk trying to get that one more whatever MVP or whatever it is that you want, or one more ring, you could risk it all.
And you can't.
Who's going to suffer? Who's going to be pushing you around in that wheelchair?
Exactly. You can't get what, you know, that family, that, you know, that wife, that kids that's right there. You can't recreate that.
You can't.
No, he can't recreate that if, you know, if she leave him and he try to do it again with a chick he met in Miami or Denver or wherever he ends up. You can't do it. You know, you can't do
isn't
it.
Isn't that man pride? Isn't that our problem?
Yeah. I mean, pride is an issue.
I mean, we can't fail. I think a man's problem is he doesn't want to. I know one of my problems is, why I do hard work and I try to show my kids is that even if I fail, I want them to know that you still have to move on, you know. That if you don't try, you won't accomplish things, what you want in your life, those goals. And I think he's at a point in his life, and it could be a midlife crisis, he is about 30-something when it comes to football players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that he doesn't know anything else.
Gotcha.
Other than what he has done all of his life.
No, yeah. but that's not true. He's done commercials.
He's been
sports cat.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff.
He can do other things.
He can do other things
can
and still
do
make
other
money
things
without taking one hit.
Right.
He can do other things, but
that's not what he wants to do.
That's not what he wants to do.
But let
That's not studying, sitting up all night studying. How many coaches have you seen come out of retirement because they went up to the booth and they tried it and it was like, I got to get back on it. It's almost like an addiction.
Yeah.
But let me drop a monkey wrench last few minutes here.
Yeah.
And this might twist you up because the fact of the matter is that, you know, our wives are there, as the host talked about, you know, Our wives are there for a purpose as well. And I'll go out on a limb. I'll go out on a limb and say that if your wife is saying that, you may not want to do that, honey, that may not be your calling. It may not be what you need. I mean, you really need to take her word to heart. Because as P-Town is living his American dream, the reality is his wife gave him the green light.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
You know, in my situation, I told y'all about my job situation, and, you know, I had a couple job opportunities about 6 years ago now. But, you know, talking to the wife, she was like, no, you need to do that. I don't want you to do that. And she was, I mean, looking, hindsight is 2020, she was exactly right. Exactly right. Spot on. I mean, I think that we have to, you know, just take a step back, and it's like, if it was our calling, don't you think God would put a partner with us that would, you know, ride or die chick that's going to be right there with us, that wouldn't be a hindrance and a stumbling block?
I hear you. But the word is a little different. And the reason why I'm going to say the word is different at 10:49, is because someone had a calling. Someone was born for a calling that a lot of us, all of us, benefited from. And that individual did not have a wife to say, I don't agree with this calling. Did not have a wife to get in the way, and there was no discussion because there was no wife. You know what I'm talking about?
I know someone.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't need a ride or die.
Gotcha.
Necessarily. And that's the example. We don't need a wife. Jesus didn't need, and I'm not getting churchy, but what I'm saying, it didn't have a wife.
You're
and
right.
That calling, think about that calling.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So it goes back to saying, it just gives us the illustration that as men, if we have a calling, it may benefit, but at some point, can it end your marriage if someone gets in the way of that calling, whatever it means? Peyton Manning already had his calling. He's already was living his calling, probably when he met his wife. He was already a football player at some point. He was already living it out. You know, but some of us have been prolonging whatever it is because of fear that our spouse wouldn't hold our hand and say, okay, here's my seal of approval. And that could be an invitation to divorce court at some point. That's all that I'm, that's the point that I'm making.
That's strong.
At 10:51.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow, yeah. But anyway, so that, you know what, that might be it for the night.
Love it. Love it. Love
that
it.
Might be it for the night. You know what I mean? I mean, I did have something else, you know, when the rules change. And again, that's along the same lines, I think, of what Patrice was saying, that when you're in the courtship state or when you're in the dating stage, you talk about the things that you want to do in life. You talk about, you know, your goals. I mean, hopefully you do. You talk about your goals. I mean, if this is a person you're going to marry, you definitely talk about your goals.
Yeah.
And what your family has, you know, expected you to do. They say, oh, you know, my family wants me to be a doctor, whatever the case may be. I'm going to be a radio talk show host, or I know I'm going to be a preacher, or I know I'm going to be whatever it is that I'm going to be. You talk about that. And then somewhere along the lines, you never grow into that person.
Right.
And let me stop you right there, because if you don't, like you said, well, because if, like you said, I mean, if you don't act out, if you don't walk in your purpose, you know, it's other things that could come out of that, you know. Like, who knew you were going to be an author? You know what I mean? mean, what is that? You know what I mean?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You're but right. By the fact you just being obedient, just being on here every Tuesday night, just like, you know, just going through, you know, walking it out.
Okay,
and then now it's like, oh, yeah, we got a book. Oh, yeah, we got an app. Oh, yeah, we got two websites.
Yeah.
You ain't doing interviews on radio.
Right, exactly. Come on. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know, because you were just like, I'm going to keep showing, keep plugging in, you know, keep plugging away. And it's other things that could come out of, you know, acting in your car, living your purpose that you don't even know, but you don't even foresee. And it's still other stuff coming that you don't foresee. You look back in 2012 and like, yeah, remember that? You know, remember this? And now look, you know, all because, like you say, you walking it out. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come on, man.
So at some point, and it could have been any of us, at some point, luckily that the decision didn't come to it, but at some point it could have been a discussion that would not have come up in your spouse's favor. Because if you had to make a choice between your calling and your spouse, 9 times out of 10, all depend on what the calling is, you're going to choose your calling.
Or you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
And it goes back, you know, somebody brought it up earlier, and it kind of put a stamp on it. I took the wife and we went to go see Good Deeds. I think it's a Tyler Perry movie. And
yeah, my name is Wesley Deeds III.
Yeah.
And the thing was is that he was following others' dreams of his success. And every time he tried to do something, they knocked it down. You know, that what he wanted to do. And it took, so, and instead of his wife having his back, she knew that he was miserable. He followed the same routine. She knew exactly, like the, you know, like the blink of her eye. She knew he was going to say before he said it, what tie he was going to wear, clothes he was going to wear.
Down to the shoestrings.
Down to the shoestrings. But when it came to finding out what he really wanted to do, she wasn't there for him.
And he eventually left. Well,
right. And when it came down to how he wanted to, you know, wanted from her and what she wanted from him, they couldn't communicate with each other. Because they were living a lie. And we all know the devil is a liar.
That, you know what? I don't really understand if you how deep what you're saying is. Because he didn't even know what he wanted.
No. He was so brainwashed, he didn't even know what he wanted.
Exactly. He didn't even know. And that leads us to a whole nother dynamic. Kind of what Rodney was saying. Yeah, you know, who knew about a book? I didn't. You'd have told me 4 years ago what, you know, whether we write a book, I'd have been like, no, we not. Certain things come up in your life where it's like, okay, now I got to do this. Now this is something that has come late in the game, but I got to follow it through. Think about it. Because it happens to all of us. Patrice, yours is happening now.
Yeah.
You've already got kids, a house, you're established. But
right.
Now it's like, okay, now I got to get out here and do this thing that I've been wanting to do my whole life. In the middle of the game. Think about it. You're doing it in the middle of the game. This is not the beginning of the marriage. This is right in the middle. Right at halftime. Is it safe to say halftime? You say halftime.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? In
That's
the middle good. Of the game, I'm going to follow this dream that I've always had. I'm going to start now.
But you
and you
what?
Have a wife that says, ride or die, let's do it.
Yeah. And but you know what God has always, he did too? He made me humble real quick.
Mm.
And he made me understand this weekend that even though I'm following my dream, I can't leave my wife behind. Because she's going to go through some things and I got to be there for her.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. We haven't talked about it, but I have to talk to her about it. And that's, you know, is that I still got to do my husband's duty.
Yeah.
And I got to be able to learn how to balance work and home out. And that's hard. Because you want to put 100% in your business. You want to make sure it runs fine. You try to bring other people in. They don't have. They might say they used to have the same vision as you, but they're not putting the same effort in as you. And you still got to, you know, make sure them lights stay on. And you still got to make sure you spend time with your wife. And she's going through things too. So sometimes men, we do follow our dreams, but we leave our significant others behind. Which is the reason why they fall into divorce court.
Yeah. It's a thin line, though, man.
It is.
It is a very thin line, and it's the ground is very shaky. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, and I'm not saying it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation, but it's a situation where there's a thin line. You know that your interest is for the welfare of the family long term.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand that because that's your job. You're supposed to know and understand and have a plan for your family, period. You know what I'm saying? And for them, they may not understand, even though they say, I'm with you, she may say, yeah, but right now, it's, you know, but I miss you. I miss you being here all the time. I miss you. And you got to sit back and say, you know, but what do I do in that situation? Because you can't be two places at one time.
Right.
You know, but it's but again, y'all made that deal already. It's done. You can't keep revisiting it. It's done. Y'all sat down, y'all prayed on it, y'all talked about it. Okay, let's go get it. That deal is made. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, so I guess the only thing now is just to delegate at this point until you can literally, you know, be more places at one time.
And that's what we're doing right now. And that's one of the main reasons why we continue to have this trip. Because I didn't know if she wanted to go on this trip next week. You know, mother passed away. She may want to go spend time with her dad, you know. But she's like, no, I want to be with my husband. And
right.
That made me happy, you know.
Sure.
Is that she still needs me to be her rock?
Yeah. And again, you know what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the run of the mill female. You got a solid spouse, and we all know it. You know what I mean? We know she's down 150% down for her marriage, period. So you just have to treat it, you know what I mean? And I'm not giving you any advice. I'm just saying, in that situation, we have to treat it with as much respect as possible and as much compassion as possible because, you know, all eyes are on you right now. What you going to do?
Yeah.
How you going to handle it?
Yeah,
and it's the same with me and Rodney and everybody else. All eyes are on us. What are we going to do? When the stuff breaks, when the stuff hits the fan, how are we going to respond? You know, and just like you said, at the funeral, you went a different route. You know, you didn't respond like everybody else. You went a different route, and you gave props to the husband who's been there.
Had to, man.
Yeah, because, you know, when a parent dies, that could be an invitation to divorce court.
Yeah.
thing I thought it was amazing is that, you know, and I told the folks in there, I said, you can learn from this foundation of marriage, you know, is that when it was time to go to the barrier, and he put, you know, he bought them a mezzanine, so they'll be side by side in a wall, not in the ground. And the grounds made a mistake and didn't have all the letters for her name. And they said, well, we're going to put the names up there next week. And he says, well, you're going to put something up there right now. I ain't leaving. Because one thing he wanted to make sure was just that he did the right thing for his wife. And that she had the purpose going, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. He was still the head.
That's right.
Even though she was gone, he was still the head handling that business, making sure it was done right, just like he did probably every day of their marriage.
That's right. And I looked at that and said, I hope I am that.
Words.
That's good words, man. Good words, man.
Great words, man.
Appreciate it.
11:04. We're getting ready to put this thing in the open mic. If y'all have anything, let me know. That concludes the call, but don't hang up. Do we have a topic for next week?
We do. Give it to him, Patrice. Give it to him.
Whew. Man, you give it to him. I gotta go through a moment right quick.
You good, man. Next week is when a parent dies. When a parent dies. That's why I tied that in at the end. When a parent dies can be an invitation to divorce court.
Yeah, yeah. And I gotta do my research on that because both of my my spouse's parents have passed away. And I gotta dig a little bit.
That's good.
To get ready for that one.
Yeah, because it's tough, man, because I still got my mama.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to share her now. You know how that is. Share.
Well, you know, even though I say these sympathy things, he can never replace my mom.
That's right.
And I can never, until it happens to me, relate.
That's right. You can sympathize, but you can't empathize.
Yep. Yep.
Good words.
But you can only do what you can do, man.
Makes you stronger, man.
It makes you stronger.
Making me strong, I can tell you that right now.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Well, but again, you have to know that you're not taking a walk by yourself. I can't stress that enough. You have to know that you are not. You have to, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to whatever it comes to, you got to pick that phone up. You know what I mean? Because right now, I mean, you're not alone. So it's not, you know, whatever we can do.
Yes.
All it is a text message.
Don't worry, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's a text message. You know? I mean, you know, am I my brother's keeper? You're damn right. And let's keep it moving.
Good words.
Yeah.
Good words, man. I appreciate it.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.